Now, Israeli naval forces have intercepted an international flotilla attempting to deliver aid in Gaza.
And the mission, which included over 40 civilian boats and hundreds of activists, including Swedish climate campaigner Greta Thunberg, was stopped roughly 70 nautical miles from the war-ravaged enclave.
The Global Summit flotilla, carrying food, medicine, over 500 civilians, had been making its way across the Mediterranean for weeks. Departing from Spain, the convoy made stops in Italy and Tunisia before heading for Gaza.
Now, according to the activists, Israeli forces boarded the vessels in international waters. They cut off communications and detained dozens. Live video streamed from one of the lead ships, the Alma, showed passengers donning life vests just before Israeli naval vessels surrounded them.
In one video, Israeli vessels are seen circling the flotilla ships, at one point spraying water and what activists claim were chemical agents onto the decks.
Israeli Foreign Ministry later said that all passengers were safe and were being transferred to an Israeli port. The interception has sparked major condemnation and diplomatic fallout.
Now, Turkey's foreign ministry called the operation an act of terrorism, while hundreds of Turks protested against Israel outside Istanbul consulate and slammed Israel's actions as unlawful.
Accusing Israel of committing what it called a new international crime, Colombian President Gustavo Petro expelled all remaining Israeli diplomats in the country and reported that two Colombian activists on board the flotilla were in Israeli custody.
The United Nations said it was closely monitoring the flotilla as it neared waters off Gaza and urged all sides to respect international law.
The interception of the flotilla comes just amid Israel's warning to Gaza's population to flee or be considered enemy combatants as it expands military operations in the territory. On Wednesday, Qatar's emir discussed with U.S. President Donald Trump his plan to end this war in a phone call. Sheikh Tamim reiterated Qatar's support for peace efforts and expressed confidence that the plan would guarantee regional security and protect the rights of Palestinians. But soon after that, there was a change saying that there is more that needs to be worked upon in this plan.
And for more on this, we're now being joined by retired Colonel Daniel L. Davis from Sterling, Virginia. Colonel Davis is a military expert and host of Daniel Davis Deep Dive on YouTube. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, we, of course, said that Qatar has, of course, said that the plan is good to go. But then, of course, they have also stated that there are some plans that need to be talked upon. How do you see the situation as of now?
It's very tenuous because virtually everybody in the world wants this to work out. And one of the reasons why Qatar was behind it, because it says that they have security guarantees for the Palestinian people. It does not include expulsion, and it would immediately end the war. And they said those are the things that they care the most about, and a lot of these other details will have to be worked out. And, of course, what's going to happen after the war, all those things are really, really important. And if you don't have a situation that actually addresses the core causes of the war, then you can have a ceasefire, and that would be helpful. But then it's not going to solve the problem, and it's going to continue to fester. So that's what they say is later. But I agree that the first thing needs to be ending the conflict right now. The problem is Israel continues to move forward with their defense minister. Israel Katz gave a threat tonight that, listen, everybody in the north of Gaza has to leave, or they will all be considered enemy combatants and killed if they don't leave very quickly. And that does not seem like it's moving in the direction of peace. And it's unclear, frankly, whether Israel actually wants this to work out or not. But time is going to be the teller on that.
There are a lot of loose ends here, Colonel Davis. You know, even in the readout, there was a statement saying that eventual Palestinian statehood is something all parties have agreed upon. And shortly after that meeting with Donald Trump, Netanyahu made it clear that statehood for Palestine will never be acceptable to Israel. And then Qatar also goes back and says that there is more to be worked upon. And on the battlefield, as you know, we've seen that they're going to be considered enemy combatants if they don't evacuate or if they don't leave. Hamas has that 3 to 4 day deadline when all or most other important parties are kind of changing their stance. Do you feel Hamas is going to stick to that deadline?
We'll see. I mean, whether they are going to or not. I mean, it's understand. I mean, we need to clearly understand this is not a negotiation. This is an ultimatum. If it was a negotiation, the Hamas party would have been involved with the discussions between the United States, Israel, and Hamas. Of course, they would have all been on there. But instead, it was primarily the United States with Arab regimes and then, of course, Israel and the United States. And so there's not much offer on the table for Hamas to negotiate with. Only will they accept it or will they not? So it's a very high bar for them to clear. And I think a lot of them are concerned that, you know, if they don't get the amnesty that was promised. And as you said, the two of the biggest sticking points is that Benjamin Netanyahu at his UNGA meeting absolutely declared no chance for a two-state solution. But the U.S. version of the 20-point plan did include a potential for a two-state solution. So there's disputes even between the United States and Israel, and there's disputes within Israel itself. So we're a long way from getting there, whether or not Hamas agrees to it. There are other parties that also have to agree, and it's very tenuous.
And as you said, of course, everyone has to agree in that. And Qatar seems to be saying that, okay, there are some loose points that we need to discuss upon. How do you think it will go forward if, you know, either if Hamas does accept it, of course, we're going to see probably a ceasefire. But if there's still some kind of, you know, for example, if Israel does not go for a Palestinian statehood, how will this all blow up? Like, even if we go forward with it?
Well, I mean, the hoped for idea and what President Trump apparently wants is for an immediate ceasefire that leads to an end of the end of the war and the withdrawal of the Israeli Defense Forces out of there. That's another sticking point because Netanyahu, after meeting with Trump, said there will be only the Israeli Defense Force for the foreseeable future. So again, you see some conflict between what the two sides are saying there. But in the middle of all this are the Palestinian people who desperately need this destruction and the death, the daily death, to stop. And they seem to be the ones that aren't paid much attention to in here, and they ought to be the focus of this. And I really, really hope that somehow we can find the political will from the United States, Israel, and the Arab regimes to bring this thing to an end. Let's get the ceasefire first, and then, like Qatar said, we can worry about the other things. But the first thing, we've got to get the killing stopped.
All right, Colonel Davis, thanks so much for joining us here on World DNA. Always a pleasure speaking with you, getting all your insights from your rich history and serving in the forces and understanding regions better. That was Colonel Daniel Davis joining us here on World DNA.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.